welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of OC Spotlight, where we take a look at the most amazing people and incredible organizations making an impact right here in our community. Boy, we got some good ones here in today. A full house with our public affairs director, Claudia Shambaugh. Hey, Claudia.
Hello, hello, Mark. Hello, everybody. Welcome to OC Spotlight. This is the March 9th, 2018 edition. My guests today are Cal Optima's CEO, Michael Schrader, and Director of Strategic Development, Cheryl Moronk. As Chief Executive Officer, Michael Schrader collaborates with the Board of Directors to set the organization's strategic vision and ensure its successful implementation. He oversees all aspects of the organization and maintains positive working relationships with member, provider, and community representatives, as well as federal, state, and county agencies. He serves on the boards of the California Association of Health Plans and the Local Health Plans of California. His more than 20 years of executive leadership experience is in managed care plans in California and Massachusetts. Prior to Cal Optima, he was the chief operating officer for Boston Medical Center HealthNet Plan and the chief operating officer for the SenCal Health in Santa Barbara. He earned his bachelor's degree in aerospace engineering from the University of Arizona. So healthcare is rocket science, folks. And his master's degree in business administration from UCLA. Mr. Schrader's been chief executive officer of Cal Optima since 2012. My other guest today is Cheryl Moronk, and she is the director of the strategic development of Cal Optima. She's also served in leadership roles in care management and community outreach at other health plans. Prior to her roles in health care, Ms. Moronk has worked closely with the community as CEO of the not-for-profit Council on Aging, Orange County, for several years. While at the Council on Aging, Orange County, Cheryl Moronk served on the Cal Optima Member Advisory Committee and on the Board of Directors of California Health Advocates. She currently serves on the advisory member of the Orange County Children's Partnership, the steering committee for the county's whole person care pilot, the leadership council of the Orange County Strategic Plan for Aging. Cheryl has completed her MBA with an emphasis in health administration from Brandman University of Chapman University System and a master's degree in gerontology from the California State University Fullerton. Both Michael Schrader and Cheryl Moronk join me in studio. Welcome to OC Spotlight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Claudia. And glad to be here.
It's wonderful having you here, and congratulations on reaching your silver anniversary. So let's start with you briefly covering Cal Optima. It's the single largest health insurer that started, as I was alluding to, the silver anniversary in 1993, created by the Orange County Board of Supervisors. Tell us about those origins and the population that's your target.
Okay, so Cal Optima is a public health plan for low-income people in Orange County. We provide health coverage for nearly 1 in 4 Orange County residents, including children, seniors, people with disabilities, and families. And our programs include Medi-Cal for the low income and Medicare, but it's not your traditional Medicare program.
In what ways?
It's a Medicare program for people who are dual eligible, meaning they have both Medi-Cal and Medicare coverage. So that basically means it's for low income seniors.
Okay.
And Cal Optima opened its doors in 1995. The real compelling reason to create Cal Optima back then was that there were plenty of providers in Orange County. And by providers, I mean hospitals, physicians, pharmacies, that sort of thing. Plenty of providers, but too few of them who were willing to serve the Medi-Cal population because of low rates from the state and difficulty working with the state, meaning Sacramento.
And a larger share being seen in urgent and emergency room kinds of facilities.
That's right.
Less preventative care, less primary care.
Yeah. So the County of Orange was one of the first to say, give us that money that you spend on the Medi-Cal population in Orange County, and we'll do it ourselves. We'll create our own health plan, and that health plan was Cal Optima.
All right. And so, after having operated that long, there was a kind of a lead up, there were a number of different organizations that were summoning up this need to find out how effectively you're delivering and delivering the service and collaborating. Tell me about your agency's member health needs assessments and how you're going to be administering, how you administering that actual assessment throughout. Cheryl?
Sure. So we went out and conducted a very large and comprehensive member health needs assessment, primarily because although there are other comprehensive or community health needs assessments that exist in the county, we really wanted to focus on the very diverse population of specifically Medi-Cal beneficiaries that CalOptima serves. So we decided to engage with a consultant to help us. We also enlisted the help of the Social Science Research Center at Cal State Fullerton, and we selected a very large sample size of our membership. And we knew that it was larger than what we really needed for statistical significance, but because of our diverse population, we really wanted to ensure that we were representing our full membership needs.
Sort of a critical mass for underrepresented.
Yes, exactly.
Entities in the county.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, so what were some of those underrepresented groups?
We actually sent surveys to our membership across the entire county to make sure that every geographic region was represented. We sent surveys in all of what we call our threshold languages. So that is 7 different languages that are essentially the most prevalent languages spoken by our membership.
Go ahead.
All of the 7
All
languages?
7, yeah.
Sure. So that's English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Korean, Chinese, Arabic, and Farsi.
And not Tagalog or not Filipino or that.
We
okay, so
don't
that,
have
those are the
enough
7.
Membership.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not the, all right.
But we did also conduct focus groups in other languages as well. We had one that was conducted in American Sign Language, and we actually conducted a focus group in Marshallese as well because there is a Marshallese population in Orange County, and one in Cambodian as well.
So the sociology researchers at Cal State Fullerton were able to give you real insight about being culturally sensitive and making sure your needs assessment captured the essence of these beneficiaries of your care.
Yes.
Services.
Yes.
Right. I think at CalOptima, it's really important that we operate efficiently. So 97 cents of every dollar goes out to paying providers in the community to deliver care to our members. It's also important that we deliver on quality. So the National Committee for Quality Assurance rated CalOptima the number one health plan in the state of California based on the quality of care that our members receive. And that's a crucial rating because that's the same rating that every year it's posted in the Consumer Reports magazine. So that's a big deal. It's a national rating. NCQA looks at all health plans across the nation, says CalOptima, you're number one in California for Medi-Cal. So it's important at CalOptima that we operate efficiently and that there's quality. And part of that is doing a member health needs assessment to understand the people that we serve, to understand their specific and unique needs so that we can, in the most efficient way, deliver health care to them.
So it's important that we all appreciate just how thoroughly this needs assessment was that you conducted. There were a good, it was some, what, 50-some hundred participants that were assessed?
We actually mailed surveys to about 42,000 of our members, and we received back a pretty good response rate. 14% response rate was what we had, and that
well
represented
done.
Over 5,800 respondents.
All right. And so are there any other kinds of features that you learned from the partners that designed this for you?
Well, we really designed it collaboratively. We worked closely with not only our internal staff and our consultants and Cal State Fullerton staff, but we also partnered very closely with the County of Orange, who had conducted a community health needs assessment. We had representatives from our member advisory committee. So they all provided input not only to who we should be reaching out to, but the kinds of questions that we wanted to put into the design of the survey. And that was to make sure that we didn't replicate any of the other surveys that had been done previously.
Well done. So were there any surprises? There's always got to be some aha moments that you had as your I mean, first of all, maybe you're surprised that you did so well with that kind of return rate, because it was written form, right?
Yeah.
They mailed it back to you, were there any person-to-person kinds of assessments?
I think what I like to say is that if you're one of our CalOptima members, one of those 800,000 individuals in Orange County, or if you're a provider in Orange County, a hospital, a physician, a pharmacist, you know what CalOptima is. And I think one of the things the study yielded is that maybe not. Maybe our members know who CalOptima is, but aren't completely familiar with the benefits that they're entitled to and how to access the health care that they're entitled to under CalOptima. And so I think we learned a lot about that, about the need to better educate our members about how to effectively access health care and get the preventative services that they need.
So was the need to subsidize? I don't think by design they're an interactive kind of process, but did it turn out to be somewhat of a two-way kind of informing? You find out about your prospective clients, and they find out about how they benefit from the CalOptima membership?
I think for us it helped us to understand what's next, what we need to do to most effectively deliver resources in the most effective, in the most efficient way.
If you just joined us, you're listening to OC Spotlight, and I'm your host, Claudia Shamba. My guests are Michael Schrader, CEO, and Cheryl Morong, Director of Strategic Development of CalOptima, the Orange County public agency that manages programs funded by state, federal government, and locally, too, to provide members with access to quality health care services. We're talking about the needs assessment that's been conducted. You're sort of churning this data internally, or do you have to bring in a consultant to help with the massaging the data?
All the analysis work is complete at this point.
It's all done.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. So let's talk about then where you're going to take that analysis, and it goes back out to all the agencies that are contributors, agencies, nonprofits, and everybody, so they can see what. So what kind of vehicle is that like to sort of your analysis to them?
Well, they were very closely involved with this all the way through. So not only did we mail surveys, but we also conducted focus groups across the county. Our community-based organization partners assisted us with those by recruiting their communities to participate in the focus groups, by encouraging people to send in their surveys, and by just working closely with us on giving their thoughts and their perspectives on our members, because they serve them as well. So now we are going out and doing several events in the community to disseminate the results of the survey. We'll have a community event on March 21st called the Community Alliances Forum, and that'll be at the Delhi Community Center at 9 a.m.
Okay, in Santa Ana.
Correct.
A reliable community. Everybody knows where that is.
Because now the next step is we work with so many partners out in the community. I mean, our provider network includes almost all of the hospitals, including UCI Medical Center, St. Joseph, Hoag, Children's Hospital of Orange County, Fountain Valley. We've got more than 80% of the physicians in Orange County, all of the chain pharmacies, long-term care facilities. So now the next step is really to educate all of our provider partners about what we learned and how we can better deliver care to the people that we serve.
Well, you have many resources around community radio that can help with public service announcements to make sure that we can get that message out, besides with the interview today. So that's March 21st. The Community Alliance Forum will be, and will there be additional forums that will release your findings? And
I think as we look at the study and look at what we learned about how to better serve foster children, how to better serve our homeless members, how to better serve people with mental illness, people with disabilities, that there's going to be targeted approaches as we work with our provider partners and better serve those people.
And I'm wondering, are veterans also? There must be veterans that are beneficiaries as another group.
There are. So we actually reached out to very, very many groups that we felt had never really had their voices heard before. So that included veterans. It included teenagers and young adults with autism. It included faith-based groups, every language group that I mentioned previously.
Right.
So many different groups that we reached out to.
So
there's a lot of community meetings at CalOptima as a public agency. All of the meetings are open to the public, so and we use those forums to sort of get the word out. So our board of directors meets on a monthly basis. Those meetings are open to the public. The board itself has three different advisory committees. One is made up of providers from the community. Another is made up of member representatives, so people who represent foster children, seniors, people with mental illness. And CalOptima is also out in the community. So, for example, in February, we held six meetings in six different cities during the day and in the evenings for parents of children that are in the California Children's Services Program.
Wow.
So these are children with muscular dystrophy and cerebral palsy and forms of cancer. I mean, these are children with really significant needs. And there's a transition that's coming up in January 1, 2019. So that's an example of how CalOptima works closely with the folks that we serve, and in this case with the parents of these children, to help them understand this transition and what it's going to mean to them and what it's going to mean for the health related to the health care for their children.
Michael, what do you mean by the transition from what to what?
So today the CCS program, California Children's Services Program, is administered primarily by counties. And so the state of California, the Department of Healthcare Services, has identified five health plans that have the highest quality scores in the state, one of which is CalOptima, and it's going to transition the program to those managed care plans. The reason it's doing it is today, for these children, the county has responsibility for their conditions that are related to the CCS program, and CalOptima has responsibility for the same children for their non-CCS-related conditions. So let's say, for example,
Okay. We've
got a 10-year-old child who has leukemia. The county would be responsible for making sure that child gets health care for all services related to their leukemia.
Right.
CalOptima would be responsible for all other medical services. Let's say the child breaks his or her leg. It has nothing to do with their leukemia.
Or dental.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just a bifurcated system. It makes it more difficult for the parents of these children. Some of these parents say, you know, I don't work because it's a full-time job just making sure my child gets the health care that she needs. And so by consolidating the program under CalOptima, we hope to make it a better program for the parents. And so we're working with all of our provider partners, and we're working with the parents of these children to make sure that we do this right, because it's a really important population of 13,000 children that are going to be transitioned come this January.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are going to be, I guess you'll be posting this in schools everywhere, so parents who are able to get to the campus, they can see it. But so let's talk about all the collaboration that pulls this all off, because there, I can't think of any agency that isn't involved with CalOptima.
Right. So we've sponsored a meeting where we invite basically all of the providers, the county, our partners, the community-based organizations who in some form touch these children. We educate them about here's what CalOptima is planning, quarterbacking sort of for the transition. But all of them are a big part of this. The Children's Hospital of Orange County, UCI Medical Center, they're crucial. Fountain Valley Hospital. They all serve these children. But it's also talking to those parents of these children and asking them what most concerns you about this transition. What should we know? Is there anything that, you know, and most of it is continuity of care.
Sure.
They want to know that today I have access to the specialists, to the hospitals, to the durable medical equipment suppliers who I get my child's wheelchair from, I get a hospital bed from. I don't want any of that to change. So that's sort of job number one, that can't change. That continuity of care has to happen across the transition. But then it's what could we do to make the program better? And what we hear from parents is it's a great program until your child turns age 19 and ages out of the program, and suddenly they lose access to all of those providers, or all of the providers change because it goes from pediatrics to adult. And so I think by having that with CalOptima, we'll be able to make for a better transition.
Don't they become adults at 18? And there's that whole HIPAA situation kicking in there, so the parents don't have access to.
So I think the point I'm making is that they would be our members when they're children and as they age into being adults, and they would continue to be our members.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of those. I mean, did you find out in your needs assessment, did you unearth some more organizations that hadn't been working with Cal Optima, that they were, like, disseminating information about needs assessments coming out there, and you realize, oh, my gosh, OCORD's out there, or Latino Health Access. I know that they must be been involved almost from the very beginning, but did you find anybody new under any rocks?
I don't think so. We work very, very closely with the community. We have a community relations team that goes out into the community, and they attend over 200 different community events and meetings every year. We worked very closely with our community partners, as I mentioned, to conduct outreach about the member health needs assessment, letting our members know that this survey was coming, encouraging them to complete the surveys, holding focus group meetings for us and with us. So there were a lot of organizations involved with the survey efforts as well.
Well, I want to get at some special qualities about Cal Optima. I think it is a most resilient healthcare agency in amidst the vagaries of healthcare policy in the last 5-6 years. So can you talk to that, Michael or Cheryl?
Well, I think a big part of it is that the Medi-Cal funding, the Medi-Cal rates aren't great. And the rates that we can pay providers in the community are very average. And so what it really takes is everyone's willingness in terms of providers to participate, because that was the issue before Cal Optima. A lot of providers in Orange County, but not very many who were willing to participate. So the burden was on a few. Okay. And so today we've got such broad participation. And the only way you get that broad participation when you pay the rates that we do because of limited funding is there's trust and there's accountability and there's transparency. And so that's a big part of Cal Optima is that the same providers that serve our members also sit on our board of directors. And so they have insight. They're part of the decision-making process in terms of the rates that we can pay and getting that broad access for our members. And so I think that's really the essence of what makes Cal Optima special.
Okay. Do you get entities beyond the county of Orange, either in California or in other states that come knock in for us to take your template and run with it and in their respective jurisdictions?
So there are five other health plans in Cal Optima, in California, that are just like Cal Optima, that operate under the same model.
In Southern California?
In California.
All over?
Uh-huh, all over, yeah.
Okay.
And so the model is basically if you're on Medi-Cal and you live in Orange County, we cover Orange County, you're a Cal Optima member. And so the bulk of our provider network is limited to Orange County. Now, if a member goes out of county and there's an emergency and they end up in an emergency room in another county or another state, we still cover that.
Okay.
If a member goes to a pharmacy and it's a chain pharmacy, they can go to that CVS or Rite Aid pretty much anywhere in the United States and get their prescriptions filled. There's also some cases where some of our members might need a transplant and that certain transplants are not done by the hospitals in Orange County, so they'll go out of the county. They might go to UCLA. They might go to Cedars-Sinai. They might go to USC Tech, and so we cover that.
Okay. Well, what I was thinking is let you toot your horn is whether you have a model that other jurisdictions pick up and are implementing for their Medicaid comparable programs outside of California. I mean, you must be a model that's followed elsewhere.
I think there are a lot of aspects of what we do that's modeled elsewhere based on the quality and the cost efficiency. And
yeah.
In California, though, there are for the Medi-Cal program, there are basically three different models. And one is the county-organized health system, and that's the Cal Optima model, where there's one health plan that serves the Medi-Cal population in a given county. And so I think I think for some people, that might not seem like a great model just on the surface because, well, wait a second, as a member, you don't get any choice. If you're on Medi-Cal, it's Caloptima, and that's all. But when you think about it, well, when you and I choose our health plan, it's basically we're choosing it based on what it costs, the premium. In the Medi-Cal program, there is no cost. It's based on the benefits, and the benefits are the same for all Medi-Cal members across the state. And then we're choosing our health plan based on the provider network. And CalOptima's got a more broad, more extensive provider network than any – we've been in this county for 20 years – than any health plan that operates in Orange County. And so where the choice comes in is our members have get to choose their primary care physician.
So I was alluding earlier to the vagaries of the national and state level health care funding. How are you managing with those changes? How are they having an impact on CalOptima and members?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're referring to the sort of the federal health care reform.
The moving target. Yep.
Yeah. And so, of course, in the last year, there were a lot of attempts by Congress to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. And what that would have meant in Orange County is that a third of CalOptima's members, a third of our, you know, nearly 800,000 Medi-Cal members would have lost their health care coverage. So that would have had a pretty serious effect. Now, CalOptima is a public agency. We're not out there advocating. We don't hire lobbyists to go advocate one way or the other. But what we do is we meet with all members of Congress from the Orange County delegation, and they all want this information, and we shared with all of them. This would be the impact, as there were different proposals to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, that we would meet with all members of Congress in the Orange County delegation and share with them, this is what the impact would be to your constituents in your district. So we kept them educated.
And you're able always to show the county board of supervisors and your other board of director members that investment saves money.
Right. Exactly.
And it's performing well, but it's efficient, as you were saying. Well, I want to thank you both. Before we close, Cheryl, what's the best way for people to get a hold of CalOptima?
Either to go to our website and find information about us there, including our telephone number.
It's caloptima.org is your website.
That is correct.
And your number?
Is
714-246-8600 sound like the right number?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, folks, that is all the time we have. I want to thank Michael Schrader and Cheryl Moronk for coming in studio with us today.
Thank you for having us, Claudia.
Thank you. My guests were Michael Schrader, CEO, and Cheryl Moronk, Director of Strategic Development of CalOptima, the Orange County public agency that manages programs that are funded by the state and local federal government to provide members with access to quality health care services. Once again, I want to thank Paul Roberts for engineering today's live show. Next week, we've got on tap for you Ruben Franco, CEO of the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for listening, everyone. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to another episode of OC Spotlight, taking a look at the most amazing people and incredible organizations, many of which you may not know of, right here in your own backyard. Brought to you by Orange County's community radio station, one of the several in this county, OCTalkRadio.net.